Welcome to Chicago Tabernacle, a place of becoming. Wherever you find yourself, we pray that you would be encouraged today by God's word.
Today, what we're talking about is impenetrable peace. Impenetrable peace. And when I think about peace, it's one of those things that, you know, it can be kind of elusive. It can be kind of subjective in certain terms. But how many of you know when you have peace, you know it? When you have peace, you know I'm at peace. And my prayer, and as I've been preparing and as I've been really just working through this even for my own life, as I've been praying for you, I've been praying, God, I want to just uncover the devil's schemes today. And let's just show that, you know, when you shine light on the devil, he runs. And so what we want to do is we just want to pull back the covers and we want to expose maybe some of those places in our minds and in our hearts that need the presence of God to shine in. Amen? So today, I really, you know, peace is one of those things that's, it can be a little bit elusive. And in our society today, people are searching for it. You know, maybe you heard about Anthony Bourdain and Kate Spade that just recently committed suicide a couple weeks ago. I want to read something to you from the New York Times. Listen to this. This is talking about Anthony Bourdain, who is a renowned chef, for those of you who don't know, a renowned chef. He had a TV show called Parts Unknown, and he would travel all over the world to different cultures and different places, experiencing their food and asking them what made them happy and how their society lived. And listen to this. Listen to what was written about them after their death. But his death, coming just days after the suicide of the beloved designer, Kate Spade, is at least as noteworthy for another reason. How powerfully it speaks to the discrepancy between what we see of people on the outside and what they're experiencing on the inside. Between their public faces and their private realities. Between their visible swagger and invisible pain. Parts unknown. That was true of Bourdain. That was true of Spade. That's true of every one of us. Are there parts of your life that are causing chaos in your heart and your mind? Are there parts of your heart that are not at rest? Listen to this. 75 to 95% of the illnesses that plague us today are a direct result of our thought life. Everybody just put your hand on your mind for a second. Say it all starts here. 75 to 95% of the illnesses that plague us today are a direct result of our thought life. What we think about affects us physically and emotionally. It's an epidemic of toxic emotions. The average person has over 30,000 thoughts a day. I didn't realize I was capable of that. It's true. Through an uncontrolled thought life, we create the conditions for illness. We make ourselves sick. Research shows that fear all on its own triggers more than 1,400 known physical and chemical responses and activates more than 30 different hormones. Toxic waste generated by toxic thought causes the following illnesses: diabetes, cancer, asthma, skin problems, and allergies, just to name a few. Consciously control your thought life and start to detox your brain. How many of you want to be healthy on the inside and the outside? Amen? You know, everyone has anxieties, everyone has pressures, everyone has things that cause us stress. And some of us, you know, we're looking for momentary relief, and all of us are going to try to find peace. It's a part of the way that we're made. It's a part of our human nature. God made us to try and find peace. And so there's two ways to do it. There's going to God, and then there's going to other things. And I believe that today what we're going to do is we're going to uncover the only true way to find peace. Because there's a lot of things that we can run to, but there's only one thing that gives us peace. Listen to this passage. And before I read it, I just want to kind of frame it for you. This passage is broken basically into two parts. In the first part of this passage, it tells us how to gain peace, how to get it. Maybe you're in chaos. This passage is going to tell you how to get peace. And the second part of this passage is going to tell us how to keep peace. Because I believe that peace shouldn't be a mountaintop experience. That should be something that we carry through with us every day of the week. Can I get an amen? Amen. Peace is something that God has promised to us. And so if God has promised it to us, then we should probably take it back from the devil if he's tried to take it from us. Amen? Listen to this. Philippians 4, if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. Philippians 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Let's pray. Jesus, we need you. God, you said that you are the God of peace. So, Holy Spirit, we invite you right now to inhabit every part of who we are, every thought, every emotion, every feeling. We invite you into our lives, into every part of us. And we ask you, oh God, be the God of peace to us. Lord, we just pray, oh God, Lord, that right now that this word would sink into our hearts, that you would help us to expose the lies, the things that are unhealthy that we've been holding on to, so that we might experience the fullness of your peace, the promise of your peace. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, this is what I want you to know and to remember. God is inviting you to practice impenetrable peace. There's an invitation for every single person here. Peace is something that God has promised to us. It's not something that we gain only if we're, you know, if we're perfect. It's not something that we gain only when we get to heaven. Peace is something that God promised to us right here on this earth today. It's something that Jesus paid for on the cross. And you know, a good habit to have is if Jesus paid for it on the cross, we should make sure that we're fighting to take care of what he gave us. Amen? So, God is inviting you to practice impenetrable peace. Okay, now I want to look at the first part of this passage, okay? Let's look at this a little bit more in depth. I want to read one more time. Do not be anxious about anything except for finances. I'm sorry. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So, in order to get impenetrable peace, we have to follow the advice of this request, and we have to bring our anxieties, our fears, our needs, our desires, we have to bring them to Jesus. The first thing that we're going to look at is that release is the key to God's peace. Release is the key to God's peace. I want to look at one of the words in this passage that really stuck out to me, and the word is anxious. Has anyone ever been anxious before? Amen. Praise God. Two of you. We're I don't know where you live. I want to move there. To be anxious is something that, you know, I know that I fight. And listen to the way that the Greek breaks this word down, okay? Because anxious, obviously the text was written in Greek, so anxious is a translation of another word. So the word that we're looking at here, what it literally means is it means to care for. It means to care for something or someone. So, for example, to care for your children. It means to take care of them as if it belongs to you. But, you know, I don't know about you, but when I'm caring for fear or when I'm caring for problems or issues that I'm running into, I'm not in a good place. Oftentimes, we're trying to care for our problems and our fears and our issues like they're our children. When God says, that doesn't belong to you, that belongs to me. You know, I had this crazy experience. I don't know, maybe the dads in the room can relate to me, but I remember the first time I brought Owen, my oldest son, to a soccer game. He was going to play, and I was excited to, you know, see him play, and I was also really wanting him to do well because I think, you know, if I'm being honest, I want my son to play sports for his whole life, and I want him to pay for my retirement, you know? That's one of my goals. And so I was like, okay, I want this to go well. You know, this is a really important moment. And so I brought him to the soccer game. And as he's playing, what I'm realizing is that my stress levels start to rise. I'm watching my son, who's 4, play this soccer game, and he starts kicking the ball around, and he's doing this and he's doing that, and I notice all of a sudden, involuntarily, I start screaming. I'm like, yeah, get it, go, 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 get it, yeah, kick it, no, get aggressive. And I look around and I'm like, what's happening to me? I'm going nuts. I'm going crazy. What is going on? And I realized that my stress level, it was like I was playing in the Super Bowl. I'm like, what is happening? You know what? I realized I was all worked up over my son who was playing soccer, and I couldn't do a thing about it. He's on the field playing. I can't play for him. The only thing I'm doing is stressing him out. That's it. And I'm over here, and I just had to say, okay, you know, I need to take a little break. I'm just going to sit down. I'm just going to calm down. I'm just, you know, it's going to be okay. And I realized, you know what? We do that all the time. There's something that we have zero control over. And we are screaming. We're like, no, it can't go that way. It can't go this way. It's got to be like this. No, no, no. You can't do that. You know, when I remember when I was in youth ministry, sometimes parents would come up and they talk to me. They're like, excuse me, can you please talk to my child? And I say, well, sure, what's, you know, I don't mind talking to them. They say, yeah, please talk to them. I say, so about what? I don't know, just talk to them. And I say, do they want to talk to me? And they say, well, I don't know. I said, well, if they want to talk to me, I'm more than happy to talk to them. But maybe we should wait for when they're ready to talk. And you know, I understand now, by the way, now that I'm a parent, I understand there's this stress level that comes when you're thinking about your kids because you want to make sure that you're doing everything right. But here's the thing. You know, you can't control your kids, not even when they're little. You can't control your kids. You can't control your life. You can't control your finances. You can't control your work. You can't control your relationships. You can't control your future. Your future belongs to God, and we should leave it to Him. Amen? Hallelujah. Listen to the definition of fear. If you can put that up. Oh, it is up. Okay. Release is the key to God's peace, but listen to this. A negative interpretation or expectation of what's to come. Have you ever been in a situation and you start to get worked up and you realize that what you're doing is you're actually thinking about what's going to happen, but you're giving it this really bad twist. You're saying to yourself, if I do that, this is for sure going to go bad. This is going to happen. You know, if I make that investment, I'm that's no way. No, that's too much. It's too big of a risk. I'm going to lose that. No, if I do this, if I go and if I talk to that person, I'm for sure going to be embarrassed because I'm so stupid. I can't do this and I can't do that. That's fear. Fear talks to you all the time. Fear talks to you all the time. And the only thing that you can do to fear is tell it to shut up. Because fear is constantly talking. It's constantly going to be talking. You know what anxiousness, I believe that it looks like? I believe that anxiousness and insecurity is just a form of fear, right? This is what it sounds like, okay? If you're insecure, insecurity talks to you before a situation. It talks to you in the middle of the situation. And then it talks to you after the situation. Have you ever noticed that? Insecurity and fear, and what they do is they say, well, you can't go over there. You don't have the credentials. You don't have the knowledge to be able to do something like that. You can't go talk to that person. You're not smart enough. They don't like you. For sure they don't like you. You see the way that they looked at you? They don't like you. You can't go and do this. You can't fulfill this calling that's on your life. You don't have the skills yet. You better just sit down until you really meet with God. You gotta wait. Don't do it. And then while you're in the middle of doing it, if you work up the courage to do it, what happens? You're talking to someone, and in your mind, you're like, I can't believe I just said that. That was so dumb. What was I thinking? How could I do this? And you know what? It's talking. And then afterwards, it says, see, I told you so. I told you you're gonna mess that up. I told you you're gonna botch that. And you know what? You should have listened to your better judgment and you should have stayed at home because that was the wrong move to make. I can't believe that you did that. But that's fear. That's anxiety. God doesn't talk like that. God doesn't ever talk like that because that's not fruitful. How many of you know when God talks to you, he wants to produce fruit? So if God's talking to you, he's giving you solutions. He's giving you courage. He's giving you grace. Fear is going to discourage you. It's going to hold you back. It's going to keep you down. But when God is talking to you, he is speaking wisdom. He is speaking insight. He's speaking grace. So, you know, a lot of the times we turn to a lot of different things when we're facing these feelings, right? Whether it's your finances, whether it's anxiety, insecurity, whatever it might be, oftentimes we're looking to different things to try to get some peace. And you know, maybe it's you come home from a busy day at work, you're running around and you're feeling stressed and you're feeling like, how am I gonna get everything done? And we come home and some of us we're looking for a way to get just a little bit of momentary peace. Maybe you're a dad and you come home and you have to escape. And even though God has called you to be with your family, because you feel stressed, you're trying to find peace, you may feel insecure, like you don't know what to do with your family, you run to the TV or to the basement or to the garage. God, he wants us to be able to walk in true peace so that we can live out our true calling. Maybe you struggle with insecurity, you struggle with fear, and you know what? The thing that you look to for peace is you're trying to find a little bit of affirmation on social media. You're trying to just find something that's going to distract your mind enough. You know, I don't know about you guys, but my wife, she does not like it whenever we go to a restaurant and there's TVs. And the reason is because I am ADD. If there is color that is moving, my eyes are gonna watch it. Because every time it changes, my brain says, something changed. So like when I go camping, I could stare at a fire for hours. It's constantly changing and it's colorful and it's moving. I don't understand it, but that's the way that it is. And you know what? Sometimes we can want to put our brains to sleep because we don't want to think about all the pressures and all the anxieties that we're facing. And instead of gaining true peace in the middle of our problems, we want to put a cloak over our problems and pretend like they're not there. We want to look at something and say, I just need to zone out. Now listen, please don't hear me out, okay? There's nothing wrong with going home and watching a TV show. There's nothing wrong with that. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, what are you turning for peace? Okay? What are you turning for peace? How are you trying to satisfy your soul? What is it that you're looking to? Maybe you go home and you need a drink. Which, by the way, if you go home and you need a drink, you have a problem. You have a problem because if you need something, if you need a substance to give you peace, you're in trouble. Maybe it's a cigarette, maybe it's weed, it doesn't matter. All of us have different things that we go to. We try to find peace. We just need to relax. But the only place is when you release it to God. That's it. Hallelujah. What are some other things that steal peace? Regret. You ever been like, man, I just wish I wouldn't have done it like that. If I wouldn't have done it like this, then today would be different and my tomorrow would be different. I wish I wouldn't have done that. And how many of you know, if you think about the past, you're going to get stressed. You're going to get stressed. Stop thinking about the past. You can't change the past. The past isn't going to change on you. It's going to stay there. So just leave it there. Jesus says that he makes all things new. He killed sin at the cross. So just let it stay dead, okay? Let it stay there. Move forward in God. Regret, worry, sometimes anger. You know, sometimes people struggle with anger in a way that is just like they're in a minute and they don't even know why. They're not even able to describe why they're angry, but they know in a minute, in a flash of a moment, something happens, they feel threatened, and they get angry because they feel like they got to put a wall up. And their heartbeat rises and things just get crazy. You know, there's so many things. There's so many things that can cause chaos and just a lack of peace. Some of it's unforgiveness. Sometimes we're not willing to forgive people in the past, and because we're holding on to it, that means you own it. So if you're not willing to forgive someone from the past, then you have to carry out the role of judge until you let it go. That's pretty stressful. Especially since you're not God. You got to forgive people. You got to let it go. Sometimes it's bitterness, jealousy. There's all sorts of different things. Pick your flavor. But God, he wants us to walk in serenity, be able to say, God, I'm at peace. I'm happy with my life. I'm happy with where I'm at today. I'm happy with what you're doing in my life. Some of us struggle with self-hatred. You feel like you just don't like yourself. That's not God. That's not godly. God loves you. You should have an appreciation for who God made you to be, and you should know that the love of God enables and invites you to allow you to love yourself. Lord, help us. So here's what we do, okay? So those are the problems. Praise God. What's the solution, okay? Because everyone's like, okay, Pastor David, let us loose, please. Solution. Here it is. Surrender it to God in prayer. Listen, you got to let it go. You got to say, God, take all this stuff, take all these things, and God, I'm going to surrender it to you in prayer. Now, here's the thing. Sometimes, you know, we can come to the altar and we could say, I surrender as long as you do everything the way that I want you to. I surrender most of the time. But it doesn't work like that. You have to surrender everything. You have to surrender the thought. Amen. Praise God. You have to surrender the illusion of control. Because you know you don't have it either way. But you have to surrender the illusion of control and say, God, I'm just going to release this thing to you. You know what? I can't control my finances. I can't control my children. I can't control my husband. I can't control my wife. I can't control my future, and I can't control my job. So I might as well hand it over to you and say, God, you take control. I'm just here to follow you. Hallelujah. Surrender it to God. Now here, this is what this looks like, okay? This is what this looks like. This is really important. What I'm about to say to you is going to give you so much freedom in your life. If you apply this, it will release you on so many different levels, okay? You ready for this? This is how you release something. I just did this week. Again, yesterday, me and my wife prayed, and it was like freedom in a moment, all right? So listen, it works, I promise, okay? What you do is you recognize the problem. What's the issue? What am I doing? Am I angry? Am I bitter? Is there unforgiveness? Is there fear? You recognize what it is, and then you take it and you bring it to God, and here's what you do. You say, God, I'm sorry. I was trying to hold on to something that you never intended for me to hold on to. I wasn't supposed to be holding on to this. This belongs to you. God, you take it. And Lord, I repent. I know. You know what? I was afraid, but God, you said, do not fear. You said, I have not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So God, I'm just going to hand that over to you. That's not mine. I'm sorry. I repent of that. That no longer has any place in my heart, in my life, in my mind. It doesn't belong there anymore. That's not who you've called me to be. You have more in store. You bring it to God. You repent of it. You allow God to heal you. And then you say, God, I just want your peace. So you take this issue, you take this situation, and you deal with it. Listen, can I tell you something? When you do that, the peace of God, it comes. When you recognize a problem, and listen, this might happen. It happens all the time. The other day, I was walking around, and I don't even remember what I was doing, but I was walking, and a thought came into my mind, and I said, what? I'm like, I've been thinking those kinds of thoughts for years. But that's not God's will. How did that get in there? How did I look at life this way? That's not in the Bible. That's not what God wants for me. That's not peace. God, I'm sorry. That's a wrong thought. I reject that. And then I did a little digging and I'm like, God, where else am I seeing things like that? Are there other places that I'm not even recognizing that I need to get free in? And I just began to talk about it. I talked about it with my wife. I began to write about it in my journal. And I said, God, you got to get this out. And I just, once I recognize it, then I just handed it over to God and it was done. It's done. Because if you present something to the cross, if you say, God, I want this to go to Calvary, then what happens is it gets nailed to the cross and it stays there. That's what you got to do. Present it to him. Allow the peace to come back in. And here's what happens, okay? This is powerful. Listen to this. It says that the passage says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. And just real quickly, just so you know, you are promised peace, but you're not promised understanding. You get peace for sure. Understanding, sometimes. We have to be at peace even if we don't have understanding. That's a different sermon for a different day. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now that word guard is powerful. Look at this. The word guard, it translates a military term which means to protect by garrison by guarding. Like soldiers assigned to watch over a certain area, God's peace garrisons the hearts and minds. That is the emotions and thoughts of God's children. How many of you want Jesus standing at the gate of your mind and heart? Amen. Jesus, he wants to tower over your life. He wants to protect you and make an impenetrable force around you that no thought of the enemy, no lie of the devil can get in. It's impenetrable. He wants to give you peace that is unshakable. When you lose all your money, he wants to give you peace that is unshakable. If your children are going off, he wants to give you peace that is unshakable. No matter the circumstances, because circumstances are constantly changing, but peace should be a common denominator in our life that doesn't ever change. God, he wants to give us peace that's impenetrable, and so he guards us. So I got a question for you. How do you get into an impenetrable fortress? An impenetrable fortress, by its very name, you can't get into it. You can't get in. You know the only way in? If somebody lets you in. You see, if you want to get into an impenetrable fortress, you got to let down the drawbridge. You got to say, oh, okay, you want access? Okay, come on in. That's the only way in to an impenetrable fortress. And so we saw now that's how you gain peace, but here's how you keep peace. You keep the gate shut. You got to make sure that stuff doesn't get back in. Because here's the second thing that I want us to remember. The thoughts we think determine the peace we hold. What you allow to go through your mind and your heart will determine if you have peace or not. You see, God is so amazing. He is such a gentleman. He doesn't force himself on anyone. He wants us to grow in maturity. He wants us to grow in strength. And so he allows us to be able to recognize the things that are wrong. And he teaches us and he shows us so that we can get those things and get them out. But once they get out, then what we have to do is we have to say, stay out. Hallelujah. Listen, this is important. Listen to this. Verse 8, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace, everybody say the God of peace. The God of peace will be with you. I don't fully understand this, but our thought life is a door to the spiritual realm. The thoughts that we think give access or deny access to the Spirit. The thoughts that we think oftentimes determine the faith that we walk in. The thoughts that we think come from a place in our heart. The thoughts that we think are the place of peace. You know, I'll never forget this. And forgive me if I've shared this before, but I was with a friend of mine, Taylor Reagan. Him and his wife, they serve in the treehouse. They're good friends of ours, and their kids are a little bit. They have a son that's a little bit older than Owen, and they're good friends. And one time I was hanging out with Taylor, and his son. His son did something. He was having a real struggle doing something. I don't even remember what it was. And Taylor looked at his son, Ethan, and he said, "Hey, Ethan, where's the battle? Where's the battle?" And Ethan went, "It wrecked me. I was wrecked." And I'm like, I am stealing that. I am taking that to the bank. And so I said, "Owen, where's the battle? Eden, where's the battle?" And they always say, "In the mind." They know, because the thoughts that you think determine the actions that you will take. The way that you process situations, the way that you think about yourself. If you tell yourself that you're weak and that you're incompetent, then you will be weak and incompetent. If you tell yourself that you are strong and that God lives in you and that there's a plan for your life and that there's nothing impossible for those who follow Jesus, then nothing will be impossible for you. Hallelujah. Listen to this. God builds into the science of thought this amazing ability to renew our minds, which in turn rewires the brain. This means that each time a thought dominates your conscious mind, you can do something with it. You are not a victim of your biology. Everybody say, I'm not a victim. You are not a victim of your biology. You can control your reactions to events and circumstances. You can choose to keep your thinking the same or to change it. Listen, if God says, if God tells you to think about certain things, that means that you have a decision to make. Did you know that your thoughts don't just happen to you? You are not a passive agent where your thoughts just wash over you. I used to think that. I didn't realize that I had control over my thoughts, and that if a negative thought, if a thought that was not from God came into my mind, I didn't realize that I could say, oh, stop right there. Stop right there. That's not allowed. That thought is illegal. That thought's not getting in. I didn't realize that your brain, that you have control over it, that you can say to the things that you're thinking, don't think that way. I'm not gonna think that thought. You have a decision to make every time thoughts come into your mind. You know, when I was a kid, I used to live in Japan. I'm a military kid, and my dad was stationed in Japan. And so one of the things that happens in Japan is that when you walk into someone's house, what you do is you bow, and they bow, and they get lower than you, and then you bow again. You get lower than them, and then they bow again, and then it's like this competition. And whoever bows the lowest, it's like, until you touch your toes, you're not getting done. No, I'm just kidding. It's not like that, but it's like this custom. You just say, ah, domo arigato, you know, you just keep bowing, and what you're doing is when you walk into this house, you're acknowledging, I know whose house I'm in. Thank you for inviting me. And when that person bows to you, they're saying, welcome. I'm giving you access. So here's the thing that has to happen. You remember Jesus is at the gate, right? The Bible says that he guards your hearts and your mind. He's walking around like a guard, making sure that nothing bad gets in. And how many of you know Jesus, he's good at everything he does. He's a really good guard. Amen. But listen, you have to make the decision on what gets in and what doesn't. And so this is what you need to do. When a thought comes in, if it doesn't bow to Jesus, it's got to go. If that thought doesn't bow to Jesus, then it shouldn't be in your head. If that thought is not pure, if that thought is not right, if that thought does not align with the character of God, then it shouldn't be in our minds, because then we are choosing to walk down a path that God says, I have something better for you, I have something higher for you, and I need you to listen to what I have. This powerful moment took place just recently. I was talking to someone, we're in the office, and they came in and they just had a lot of struggles. And in fact, this situation actually happened multiple times in the past 3 weeks. Multiple times, over and over and over again, because this is life. And so this person came in and they said, you know what, I got this problem, and I've got this problem, and I got this problem. And they had a whole list of things that were issues, which all of us do. And they said, and I said, well, why are you having a problem here? And they said, you know, I'm having a problem in this area of my life. And I said, okay. And I said, well, why are you having a problem there? And they said, well, because I'm this way. And I'm not going to say what, but well, it's because I'm this way. And I said, okay. I said, what other lies are you believing? And they said, and then it was like, all of a sudden they just started to, this lie. So I wrote them on the board. We wrote them on the board. I said, okay, this one? Yeah. So I said, you're believing this about yourself? You're believing that you're not smart? I said, where'd you go to school? And they named the school. And I said, I don't think that they give degrees out to dumb people. You're not unintelligent. That's a lie. And also, the Bible says that we have been given the mind of Christ. So if you have the mind of Christ, you can't be dumb. And then they said, well, I'm not good at this, and I'm not good at that. And I said, well, if you weren't afraid and you weren't insecure in this area, don't you think that you'd probably be pretty good in this area? And they're like, yeah, I guess so. And you know what we did? We wrote them all down, and then we got a Bible verse to combat every single lie. We wrote it on the board, and then we said, okay. And then I went and got Ann Rischer. For those of you who don't know, Ann Rischer is like one of my favorite people in the world. She's just amazing. And she's been showing me what this looks like at a deeper level every day. And so I said, she was in the office. I said, Ann, would you come in and would you help pray for this person? And they said, she's like, yeah, absolutely. So she came in and she's like, okay, and she's so nice. She's like the nicest person in the world. She's like, hey. So that lie, yeah, okay. Yeah, just name it. What is that? Okay, good. Yeah, well, we're gonna pray through that. And she just started, and it was like there was no drama. It was just like, okay, that one, uh-huh, yeah, okay. All right, we're gonna pray. Now here, I want you to pray after me, okay? And she's like, yeah. She's like, pray, dear Jesus, I'm sorry that I've been thinking these thoughts. Dear Jesus, I'm sorry that I've been thinking these thoughts. I'm sorry that I've been afraid when you said, don't be afraid. I'm sorry that I've been afraid when you said, don't be afraid. And we just began to pray through every single thing. And she began to declare over herself the truth of God's word. And the tears just started to roll down her face because you could see. We asked her, we said, how do you feel? And she said, I feel like something's been lifted off my chest. So that's the peace of God. Hallelujah. Come on, let's stand together. Today, I want us to experience peace. And you know what? The altar is too small for how we need to respond today. This is for everybody. And this is what I want you to do. As I was talking, I believe that there's some things that began to pop up in your hearts and in your minds. There were some issues that you're like, you know what? This is not right. I've been thinking about myself in a way that God doesn't think about me. Maybe you've been afraid of something. You've been trying to control a situation that you don't have control of. You've been taking care of it like it's your child, and God says, no, that's not yours, that's mine. I'm the one that controls the future. You gotta let that go. So whatever it is, this is what we're gonna do, okay? The worship team is gonna begin to worship, and I just want us to just come before God and just say, God, we just want to give it all to you. I'm going to release that thing in the name of Jesus. But here's the deal. You got to let go of all of it, okay? Don't hold on to anything. Allow God to come and forgive you. Some of you, you've got scars from the past and you need Jesus to come and to heal you and to just totally make it new. God wants to do that in your life right now. So listen, just close your eyes, lift up your hands. And as the band begins to play and as we begin to worship, I just want you to just say, God, you take it away. You take it away right now. Whatever that thing is, just repent. Just say, God, I'm sorry for thinking that thought. I apologize that I did not take your word and put that into my mind. God Almighty.